Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Happy Friday! Happy Friday! Oh, and if that's what you woke up to, well, I am so sorry, I guess. But I am excited that it's Friday. It is a Friday morning, so that makes it easier to wake up, right? Makes it easier to get into work just a few hours from the weekend. Thanks so much for tuning in and making us part of your Friday morning routine. There's a lot to talk about, as always. Another winner-take-all game on the baseball diamond, as well as the start of week six in the NFL. Wowzers. A month and a half in now, it's the Patriots, the Giants that get us started. We want to know which of the other games in week number six you're most looking forward to. And so you can find our poll. We do this every week. You should be used to it by now on a Friday. After Hours CBS is our Twitter handle, or on our Facebook page, easy to find, named after the show. We've got a bonus baseball poll up as well, because we are down to the final four. October has this great format, throws all this drama at you right away, and then it's more of a slow burn as we get to the championship series. So again, take both those polls. We're talking about baseball and football this hour. Little bit of congratulations for the Washington Mystics on their first ever WNBA title. That game five with the Connecticut Sun played out to the final minute last night as well. So it was a good way to head into our last show. We want to get you set up for what's to come in the next few days. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They understand it's not just a mortgage, it's your mortgage, and that's the difference. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage.
Getting you up to speed on the biggest stories in sports. It's time for the After Hours Countdown.
Swung on, a long drive to right center. It's high. It is far. It is gone. All rise. Here comes the judge.
Fly ball to right. A two-run home run for Bellinger. His second of the day.
Going, going. It's gone. Goodbye. Bryce Harper.
Rizzo hits a tremendous high drive. That was a moonshot.
Here's Amy Lawrence.
The Tampa Bay Rays were 3-0 in a week's worth of elimination games. They stared down every challenge. They kept on coming and driving, and they protected that home field at Tropicana Field. Were able to force a game five, even beating Justin Verlander along the way. But things set up perfectly for the Astros, a team that's faced a lot of pressure itself, stared down a lot of incredible moments itself over the last couple of years. And so game five in Houston, well, it wasn't quite 10 runs in the first inning, but it was a significant start.
Number three.
No one. Fastball, and that's lined into right center field, and that's going to get down for a base hit. Springer scores. Brantley on his way to third. An RBI single for Altuve. His fourth run batted into the series. 1-0 Astros. Breaking ball, and that's lined toward right center field, and that's headed for the gap and is going to the wall. Brantley scores. Altuve tearing around third. Altuve will score. Two-run double for Bregman. 3-0 Astros in the first. Breaking ball, grounded pass to Drawn and Wendell, and in the left for a base hit. Bregman can walk home. Gurriel, RBI. 4-0 Astros.
That's the call on the Astros radio network with Robert Ford. Five hits in a row right away off Rays starter Tyler Glasnow. And so they were able to put a four spot up immediately. And it certainly helps that you've got your big names who are setting the tone, like Altuve, like Alex Bregman. Yuli Gurriel is as well adding another run. Now, Glasnow did settle down a little bit, had a pair of Ks to get out of any more trouble. But that's all of the run support that Gerrit Cole required. Yet another gem from the guy who's number two in the Astros rotation.
The 1-2. Swing and a miss. Kiermaier goes down on the hook. 10 strikeouts for Cole. His third career double-figure strikeout game in the postseason. Cole delivers. And that's hit past Cole. Altuve shovels to his right. He grabs it. Throws to first. Inning over. Gerrit Cole coming up huge for the Astros.
Once again, man, the guy had 25 strikeouts in the division series, setting a new series record. The only blip, a solo shot to Eric Sogard in the second. But Cole finishes up with an incredible performance in which he goes 1-2-3 in the eighth. So all the way through the eighth, 100 pitches, 10 strikeouts, and was able to limit the Rays once they got that solo home run. It was more of a party in the ninth then when Michael Brantley and Jose Altuve went back-to-back with solo shots, because that was it. 6-1, slamming the door in the ninth with Roberto Osuna. You couldn't have asked for a smoother game five for the Houston Astros as they close out the Rays. And it certainly does help that they've had so much experience on the playoff stage, including a Game 7 of the World Series. But every team is different. Every team has a different personality. And in a Game 5, anything can happen. So obviously, AJ Hinch is beaming.
This is an incredible team, and we have a really good way about responding to the big moments. And I love that about this team. I told them in there, you know, the moment's never too big. This was a grinder of a series, obviously, and we get to Game 5, we get to have it at our home field, and we get to have Gerrit Cole. A lot of that is lined up well for us, and we respond with a really good game. So big moments, big atmosphere today, and big-time performances by big-time players.
As you were watching that first inning play out, you could draw some similarities to what happened with the Dodgers. They were home in Game 5 against the Nats. They put up 3 runs in the first 2 innings and then had the opportunity to close it out. Of course, it didn't work. Now, they didn't have Gerrit Cole going 8 innings, but they still had Walker Buehler and Clayton Kershaw and a bullpen full of guys that they could have drawn on. Now, we know how it played out. But it was impressive to see that the Astros protected that lead that they built in the first inning and really never gave the Rays any type of breathing room. And Kevin Cash, postgame, still talking about those very first few at-bats.
It happened quick, just really didn't allow him to settle in. And that's what their offense is capable of doing. We've done such a good job, I felt, leading into Game 5 of kind of controlling the early top of their lineup. You know they're going to get their hits. Every once in a while they're going to get the home runs, but they just piece together a tremendous inning against a really good pitcher.
Disappointing's not the word. It definitely, you know, we definitely would have loved to win that, but we've accomplished way too much as a group this year to sit here and, you know, dwell on this. And obviously it's tough. We want to keep playing. We would have loved to win that game.
Kevin Kiermaier's been one of the great quotes for the Rays through this chase for the wild card, winning that game in Oakland, forcing the Astros to a Game 5. It's been amazing to see what the Rays have accomplished. 96 wins during the regular season, but it's the Astros who move on their third consecutive ALCS, and we've got the powerhouses. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So Alex Bregman and the New York Yankees, they're not strangers. They know each other pretty well. And we've got maybe the matchup that a lot of people were hoping for, the Blue Bloods, quote-unquote. 210 combined wins between these familiar foes.
Number 2.
They hit the ball to the ballpark. They got good pitching. It's very similar to our team. Both teams were a little banged up during the year and persevered until we got to the ALCS and we get a matchup with them again. It was an unbelievable series that we had with them during the regular season.
Yeah, so Alex Bregman hearkening, no one says that word, maybe my 97-year-old grandmother, but probably it's only in old literature, thinking back to a battle that these two teams had in the regular season and hoping now, even though there's been a lot of injuries and, you know, you've certainly got a lot of miles on their bodies as well as their minds, but this is what you play for. And so, yeah, two incredible powerhouse teams. That was the phrase that Justin Verlander used. The advantage, of course, is that the Yankees have had a couple of days off to be able to rest their bullpen, which will be so critical, but to also line up their pitching rotation the way that they would like. Verlander and Cole were burned, quote unquote, in games 4 and 5 against the Rays, which means they'll start Zach Greinke. And depending on when Cole pops up, he may not be able to pitch twice in the ALCS. So that's a definite advantage for the Yankees, and they'll take anything that they can get. And of course, they've got an Aaron Boone who's kind of been through everything you can as a player in pinstripes.
You know, I've been in this game my entire life pretty much, and I think all the experiences you have going back to childhood and being around things, hopefully you take with you and you learn from and you grow from and adds to your level of experience.
Something else about the Yankees that we've watched play out over the course of the year, they set a record this season with 30 players on the injured list, more than the Dodgers going back to 2016. They had 28. It's forced New York to rely on younger players, guys who had less experience, but because of the at-bats, because of the time in the field, because of the fact that they'd had to play in games all season long, now there's some extra depth that maybe the Yankees weren't banking on. And that's not lost on a veteran like Zach Britton, who looks around his clubhouse and sees, you know, guys that are going into uncharted territory.
You know, some of the guys that maybe we didn't envision on the roster have been really hungry for an opportunity up here in the big leagues and kind of ran with it. And then I think that obviously translated to some, even the veteran guys that have been in for a while. You watch that hunger of some of those younger guys. You remember, you know, your time when you first got to big leagues and how you kind of fought and clawed your way to establish yourself.
And so that's the ALCS, Yankees Astros, starting on Saturday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Friday night belongs to the NLCS. The Cardinals with home field advantage against the Washington Nationals to kind of surprise teams to land in baseball's Final Four. And what we will get, of course, is drama. We're banking on that. But will it be able to top what we saw on Wednesday night?
Number one.
Kelly's one strike pitch. Swing a fly ball, center field deep. Bellinger going back to the warning track, to the wall. It's a grand slam. Howie Kendrick has done it. They're going crazy in the Nationals dugout. Howie Kendrick with a grand slam here in the 10th inning of game 5. The Nationals 7, the Dodgers 3. Do you believe it?
I really don't. It still gives me chills just to hear that call from extra innings of game 5. So you've got, oh my gosh, you've got the Nationals moving on. They will start Anibal Sanchez in game number 1 in St. Louis coming up tonight.
My whole career, every game is different. Every situation is totally different. The game that I have against the Dodgers, you know, I think I put like a really good game plan with Suk. So it's helped a lot. But tomorrow is going to be a different day, different crowd, different team. I don't did my homework.
So Sanchez is saying, I got to use all my experience, but it's going to be different. Definitely got to do my homework. Meanwhile, for the home team, Miles Michaelis will start. And he says, hey, this is pretty incredible.
You know, going, thinking about who you want to play for, you want to play teams that are wanting to win, that are contenders, that are trying to get to the playoffs, and that is the St. Louis Cardinals. And you know, to be on their list of guys who've started game 1 is humbling. It's an honor, and it's going to be a whole lot of fun.
Because of the way that those two division series played out, of course, we saw Steven Strasburg and Patrick Corbin, the Nationals starters. They both pitched in game 5 on Wednesday. And then Max Scherzer, he started that game 4 win on Monday. And so it's a little bit jumbled now. And it's kind of what I was saying about the Astros. When you have a division series that goes the distance, you don't necessarily have the opportunity then to line things up for the next series. But because it's a 7-game series, we will see all these guys. Cardinals will start Adam Wainwright in game 2, and then Jack Flaherty will return their ace for game 3. As for the Washington Nationals, good news on the hand of catcher Kurt Suzuki. X-rays didn't show anything broken. Remember, he was hit by that pitch. The ball caromed off his wrist right into the bill of his helmet. He is going through concussion protocol as well, so we'll wait to see what happens with him on Friday and then moving forward to the weekend.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Olszewski to the left, inside the 35. Chest high snap. Oh, they got it. Punt is blocked.
Score!
Bolden blocked it to Winovich, who catches, runs into the end zone.
Yes.
Touchdown, Patriots!
Play fake again. Brady back to throw. He's under pressure. He's going to get sacked. And the ball is loose, and it's picked up by the Giants. Running down the left sideline. Marcus Golden to the 10, to the 5. Fighting and reaching. Did he break the plane? Yes! Touchdown, Giants! What a play by Golden!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It was wild, weird, and wacky, especially in that first half as the Patriots and Giants kicked off week 6 in the NFL. And you had multiple defense and special teams touchdowns. You had both offenses sputtering with turnovers in the first half. You had some missed field goals. You had a 16-play drive that covered 9.5 minutes for New England that resulted in no points. I've never seen that before. 16 plays, 9.5 minutes, no points. Nothing but a headache for Bill Belichick. You had multiple injuries for both offenses that were affecting what they could do. So it was a strange game on a short work week for sure. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The call's on both the Patriots and Giants radio network. And so for the New England victory, now it's 6-0, it's once again a feather in the cap of the defense. And while not the kicking game, I don't think Belichick has any confidence in his new kicker either. Definitely the special teams with a block punt. And it was, you want to talk about weird and wacky. So it's Riley Dixon who lines up to punt, and Brandon Bolden gets such a push that he's moving the line. And so the Giants line is coming backward right into this line of fire, so to speak, with Riley Dixon. So when he kicks, the punt caroms off the helmet of his own teammate up in the air and then pulled down for the score by Chase Winovich. So, yeah, it was that kind of a night in Foxborough. But the defense dominated for New England. Ultimately, this is what made the difference. The Giants turned the ball over 4 times. So Patriots pick off Daniel Jones 3 times, hold the Giants to 3 of 10 on third down. Really, the opportunities that the Giants gave up on offense because of some poor decisions or Jones holding the ball too long. There was a Jonathan Hillman fumble in there as well. I mean, think about it. They're down now to their third string quarterback. They get Golden Tate back and he hauls in a touchdown pass. And there were a couple of touchdowns there within, I think it was 87 seconds of each other for the Giants to tie this game. But ultimately the Patriots had extra opportunities because the defense just kept handing them the ball. Here, take it back. You didn't score in the last drive. Here, take the ball back. We just took it from Daniel Jones. We'll give it back to you. Yeah, it was an odd game, but that Patriots defense is a force to be reckoned with. It's nasty. It's stingy. It's giving up all of 7 points per game. So right now, while the offense is down a couple of guys, so no Philip Dorsett, Josh Gordon gets hurt, so he's not available in the second half. It was kind of interesting to see them stick with the same 11 guys, so not able to move personnel in and out. Definitely Belichick impressed with the way that his team adjusted and responded to adversity.
You know, once again, really proud of our football team. You know, these guys came in after the Washington game, put a lot into it this week in terms of preparation and film study, and they're not played hard tonight. You know, dealt with a few things offensively. It was kind of down to one grouping there at the, you know, whole second half. So I thought Josh and offensive staff did a great job of, you know, managing the game and
we cut him off right in the middle of a sentence, but you know, it's Bill Belichick, so it's a lot of the same stuff. Yeah, I mean, it's not as though the offense is blowing teams out of the water. We saw them really struggle against the Bills defense, the first half against the Redskins. Yes, there were a couple of Tom Brady touchdowns, rushing, I'm using my air quotations, rushing touchdowns in the second half. And really, every time he steps on the field now, he eclipses some new mark or sets a new record. Now second in the NFL all-time in passing yardage, so he got by Peyton Manning, now looking up at Drew Brees. So just by virtue of his longevity, he's going to keep eclipsing these records and marks. But there are times when Brady looks completely human. It's really that defense over and over again that continues to bail out the offense. And it's great. The secondary is so full of experience that when they do stare across the line at quarterbacks like Daniel Jones, who's now four starts into his NFL career, or how about a Luke Falk, who was a week removed from the practice squad, or a Colt McCoy, who is just coming back on the field. I mean, the Patriots defense is catching opponents with less than their best on offense, and so they're able to feast. And we've seen this Patriots defense feast early in the season, and it definitely takes pressure off Tom Brady. He said that. It allows us to make some mistakes, and we have kind of a buffer, a soft place to land, so to speak. It's all parts of the team. It's every facet that gets you to 6-0. Definitely the Patriots defense deserves a ton of credit. So they are the first team to get through to 6-0. We'll see what the Niners do, though. Obviously, they've already had their bye. They've got a really big game coming up this weekend at Los Angeles. So an NFC West battle. And we've got four games in our poll. Which one are you most looking forward to? A-Law Radio on Twitter or on our Facebook page?
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We talk about turning the ball over, you know, and I think, like I keep saying, it's a whole defensive effort. It's pressure, it's disguise, it's guys, you know, when the ball is thrown to them, catching it. And I think that's something we know we have to do as a defense. It makes us a better team. And tonight we did a good job taking advantage of the opportunities that came up.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That defense is impressive so far. Even the younger guys on the defense, but especially the secondary, the amount of experience that, for instance, Devin McCourty, the McCourty twins, Stephon Gilmore bring to the table. It's really amazing to see what they've been able to do against the opponents the Patriots have. And that debate is raging on and on. Is this a fair representation of the Pats at 6-0 because of who they've played? I don't care about fair or unfair. You are what your record says you are. But let's call a spade a spade. They've been able to catch teams without their top QBs, Luke Falk. I mean, Daniel Jones is the Giants' top QB now, but we know what Bill Belichick defenses do against rookies. And they've also caught teams that might be more difficult opponents at home. Even Buffalo. Josh Allen was knocked out, and they had Matt Barkley to deal with late when the game was still hanging in the balance. So they've also been able to catch teams at the right time, at least the right time for the Patriots. It's 6-0, though, and 6-0 is 6-0. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. As for the Giants, I don't feel like Danny Dimes is an earned, I can't even say it without being like, blech. Danny Dimes is an earned nickname yet, but whatever. I'm sure he didn't ask for it. It's not all sunshine and roses, though, now. Meaning the Giants got those first couple of wins, and they've made the switch completely from the Eli Manning era to Daniel Jones. But it can be some tough sledding against experienced defenses. And I really did like the answer that Pat Shurmur offered when, and he keeps getting asked this, what about positives? Is there a silver lining? Can you see a moral victory in Thursday night?
I don't. This is the second week you've asked me these questions. I don't. We didn't win. We didn't make enough plays. That's what this is about.
All right. It's a little bit of Belichick in the answer there. I don't see any silver lining. It's the second week you've asked me this, and my answer is going to remain the same. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. It's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. Someone has to remind me. It'll be in the midst of the World Series, but my Geico car insurance is due at the end of October. So, you know, don't let me forget. I don't want to be driving illegally, you know. Speeding is the only illegal thing I do. Don't repeat that. Kevin is listening in Baltimore. Kevin, welcome to After Hours.
Good morning, Amy. How you doing this morning?
Great, thank you.
I'm just calling to talk about my Yankees. I have two concerns. Mm-hmm. One is the pitching, and I love my Yankees to death, but the pitching, it goes back and forth sometimes, so you never know who's going to show up or who is not. And then after Herman, you know, got suspended, I kind of lost all kind of focus on that once he got suspended. And then secondly, Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton, which is their two big hitters, they have a habit of striking out a lot. And it's kind of like
that's kind of all of Major League Baseball's best sluggers these days, man.
But these two guys, I love these two guys, but especially when it comes to Verlander, he has some type of curse on these guys, and they always have a problem with Verlander. So that's the only two concerns I have with them.
Well, okay, so one thing, I don't believe in curses, but we know that Justin Verlander does that to a lot of teams. It's Justin Verlander, for heaven's sakes. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. But as I've talked about, and I actually recorded in a CBS Sports Minute, the Yankees earned an advantage here in being able to set up their pitching rotation the way that they like. Now, we don't know how that's going to be yet. And you're right. Domingo Herman, with his personal issues, being accused of domestic violence, he's not available, so they'll have to move forward. But the way they pitched against the Twins, while the Twins are not the Yankees, the Twins still hit more than 300 home runs and won 100 games this year. So that's significant. And to earn a little extra time off also means their bullpen, which has been really good this season, will be well-rested and ready to go. The other thing that I think you should take into account is that the defense behind the pitching staff has been really good. So what we've seen from DJ LeMahieu, what we've seen from Didi Gregorius, what we've seen from Gleyber Torres even, and then, of course, Aaron Judge has made some really flashy plays out in right field. That can help a defense. Obviously, that's a Captain Obvious response there. But for those guys to be flashing the leather the way that they are, it also gives the pitchers a little bit of cushion. But I think it's great that they are in a position where they can go in having their staff lined up the way they wanted, but also knowing that bullpen is fully ready to go, because the bullpen is a strength for the Yankees.
Well, you're 100% right. I had totally forgot about that, so you made me feel a little better.
Well, I mean, I don't know that it's going to be easy, and I don't know if they're going to win. I mean, the Astros don't really have any weaknesses, other than maybe Justin Verlander on short rest, which I don't know that we're going to see. But for them, they have to start Zach Greinke. Now, they do have home field advantage. Obviously, they work for that all season. But they have to start Greinke. They don't get to go with their two big guns right off the top. And depending on how they line this up, they may not even be able to pitch Cole twice as a starter. Now, they may, it certainly depends on the flow of the series and how many games they play and what A.J. Hinch chooses to do with him. But he may not even make two starts. So certainly the Yankees with the sweep and the Astros going the distance, that is definitely in favor of New York.
Well, the more you talk, Amy, the better I feel. You made me feel a whole lot better.
Oh, well, I mean, I have this gift of being able to examine a problem from all angles. But I could certainly sit here and tell you all the reasons why the Astros are sitting pretty as well. I mean, the home field, I think, is a major deal. While their bats were extremely quiet in stretches in the division series, to see the way that they jumped on top right away in the first inning against the Rays, that was huge. I mean, I don't know that they have any weaknesses. Their bullpen is also really good. But yeah, I mean, this is exactly what we wanted, right? The top two teams in the American League, 210 wins between them. They both have done a lot right this season.
Well, thank you very much, and I got I have my macaroni and cheese and my ribs ready, so I'm ready.
Oh, that sounds awesome, especially for me. I get ready to get off the air, and I'm so hungry. I don't know why talking makes me so hungry, but apparently it burns a lot of calories.
Well, I got one thing to say before I get off. Boom!
Oh, boom. Kevin says boom. That's perfect. Kevin, have a great weekend.
You too, man.
Now, why is it perfect? I mean, he set us up.
Come on, click, boom.
Here on After Hours, we end every show the same way.
Boom. I just laid down the A-law. Boom.
You know it. You love it. Now we're cranking it up a notch. After Hours presents the best highlights.
Foles running up and down the legs, a direct snap, and it goes to Clement, who gives it off to Burton, the tight end, who then throws in the end zone. Touchdown! Foles caught the ball!
And the most sizzling reaction.
Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate it. The greatest sports show in America.
Boom!
I'm very, you know, excited. I'm always excited if you just stayed in Cleveland.
It's the boom moment of the week. Here's Amy Lawrence. Boom!
1-2. Swing and a miss. Troy goes down, and that is the ball game. The Houston Astros are headed back to the American League Championship Series for a third straight year.
Here's the pitch. Swinging a fly ball shallow center. Racing on is Taylor. Closing on it. Dives. And he caught it. A diving catch ends the series. What a play by Michael Taylor. A diving catch. And the Nationals, for the first time in their history, will play in the National League Championship Series.
Fastball swinging a miss. Struck him out. And your Cardinal team is National League Division Champions, and they're going to go to the Championship Series.
And Chapman's pitch is strike three. Ball game over. American League Division Series over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
The final calls of each of the Division Series. Man, they gave us a wild ride. The first week of October, really incredible. What we've seen on the baseball diamond, I only hope that MLB's Final Four can live up to the stage that has been set and carefully laid for them. On the Astros, Nationals, Cardinals, and Yankees radio networks, we always appreciate the local play-by-play. At least I do. I shouldn't say we do, but I'm a huge fan of baseball play-by-play. And so as much as I enjoy watching the scene and seeing it play out on TV, each night during the past week, I've also pulled up at least one of the local radio calls. And a lot of times I'm going back and forth between the two. You really learn a lot. And we've had a lot of these guys on my show as well. So just a big fan, not just the soundtrack for summer, but also our soundtrack for October. It's After
Yankees
Hours.
Win.
Oh, stop it.
Yank. Ow.
Ow.
I hit my
exactly.
arm. Oh.
That's what you
Yankees
get.
Win.
We gave you the platform. Now zip it. You got to save those vocal cords for the weekend. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page, we've actually got two polls up. So this is kind of fun. It's a luxury of October. You get both the football poll, which is our standard on a Thursday night, Friday morning. What's the game you're most looking forward to? And right now, do you guys believe this? So this is kind of crazy. I'll just admit, last week I was wrong about the Packers-Cowboys game. In fact, I think it was Chris. I don't remember the exact numbers, but I think it was Chris who was the closest. Didn't he say 51% would be the poll result for Cowboys? And I don't even think Cowboys-Packers, I don't even think it was 51%. I think it was actually lower. It dipped below half, but I could be wrong. Anyway, Chris was the closest. So Chris won that bet that we didn't have any stakes for. Yay.
I was going to say, what did he win?
Well, next week, I know I was supposed to make you guys some horseradish dip this week, bring the carrots and the wheat thins, but I'm sorry. It's all I could do just to get through this week. So next week, horseradish dip, which is Chris's favorite. I mean, you'll eat anything, but this is actually Chris's
That's
favorite.
True.
Yeah. So my point was, sorry, brain fart. My point was, even though I don't allow potty humor, the Packers-Cowboys game didn't get nearly as many votes as I thought. So it's roughly half, but I think it might have been less than half of you who weighed in. And here we are with Niners and Rams, and I'm thinking this is going to be a much more competitive poll. Blowing away the field early on. We did not put the Browns in this week. No more Browns against the NFC West. Until the Browns can actually buck up against an NFC West team, we're not putting that poll in there again. That's that was brutal on Monday Night Football. And now it's a quick turnaround against a Russell Wilson who's playing otherworldly. So that's one of our polls. I'm going to have to retweet our baseball poll because that's the other one about your championship series. And I haven't checked the results. Anybody? Have you guys looked? What's it look like right now? Anybody? Anybody?
Bueller. Bruce or Chris is
Walker.
Looking.
Walker.
Bruce or Chris is looking.
He's perusing.
Yes, we have the ALCS in head by a wide margin, 70%.
Oh, okay. I mean, you guys are all baseball elitists. I voted for the Cardinals and Nationals. I get it. It's Yankees, Astros, and there's, there could be a lot of home runs. There could be some really tense moments. But I love the fact that the Cardinals are back in and the way they did it, the Yadier Molina game and then the 10 runs in the first inning. I mean, it's good to have the Cardinals back. They are one of baseball's blue bloods, just haven't been here since 2014, and the Nationals, too, for the first time. So you all know me. I love the fresh blood, the storylines that you didn't see coming. So that's the one I voted for. But also in our polls, I attempt to vote for the option that's the least chosen by the masses. I get allergic to being part of the crowd.
Like when, all rise.
When the crowd's going one way, I generally start running the other direction. I don't know what it is about me. It's just my personality. It's a quirky thing about my personality. Looking forward to those games. And in terms of football, I mean, there's so much to like about this weekend. I am stunned by you guys, though. How come more people aren't voting for the Lions and the Packers? What am I missing here? That is Monday Night Football. And it is the division in which every team is above 500. And yet, somehow, okay, I mean, Niners-Rams is good. But what about the NFC North? It's like the ugly redheaded stepchild or something?
I think it's the undefeated storyline that has the 49ers. And I just
the Rams
think
have lost back-to-back games.
The Lions are not a team that draws national attention, really. The Packers
I mean, it's Monday Night Football.
Yeah, I know.
And they're in the NFC North. Oh, so you don't believe then that they're going to buck up against the Packers.
No.
Why am I saying buck up all of a sudden? What did I say? Hearkening earlier in the show? When was the last time you heard the word hearkening? Just be honest.
Ye henceforth and forth. Forlorn, four scores ago. And
do you think potentially that Jacob Nix, when he got stuck in the doggy door and got kicked in the face and tased, was speaking like that?
I don't think it was legible or audible or anything. Like
his
that
buddy happen. Had to pull him out the doggy door backwards. And the police said, "What are you doing?" "Oh, I thought this was my," probably slurring his speech. "I thought this was my home. Your home doesn't have a doggy door."
"I love Scotch."
That was his response. I don't know why I'm the only one that finds this story so amusing, but I can't help it. He got kicked in the face and tased. He thought he was in his own home, but his own home doesn't have a doggy door. I mean, duh. Whoa, and duh. Okay, so if you missed my conversation with Chris Dickerson, 7-year Major League Baseball veteran, outfielder, played with the Yankees, has postseason experience, really good stuff from him. He was in Los Angeles in a sports bar watching when Clayton Kershaw gave up the back-to-back home run. So really good stuff from him. Get it all on the podcast. It's a Football Friday. You need to be ready. We'll talk to you Sunday night. After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Okay. Picture this, it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.